Okay, so unlike Philip, I'm not happy to be up here. I just wanted to share with you guys a little bit about my testimony, and I'll make it brief. I grew up in a Catholic family, in a Catholic Italian family, where you couldn't quite be a good Italian unless you were Catholic, kind of thing. And one thing I did learn in the Catholic Church is the basic tenets of Christianity. I learned about the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I knew Jesus died for my sins. But what I didn't have was a personal relationship with Christ. At that time, the Catholic Church openly taught that salvation was only attainable in the Catholic Church, and that simply is not true, because it's not about any church. It's about your hope in Jesus Christ alone. So the thing I want to point out about myself, which I'm not proud about, is I've lived a great deal of my life very pridefully, and it started in third grade. That's the farthest back I could remember. I asked for a meeting with our parish priest, and I was in third grade, and I said, you know that part right before communion where we say, Lord, I am not worthy to receive thee, but only say the word and I shall be healed? And he said, yes. And I said, well, I'm not going to say that anymore, because I'm a good Catholic girl, I don't sin, and I am worthy to receive him. And I am absolutely positive that God was up there saying, oh, Robin, how you're going to suffer with pride all of your life. So, but God in his divine wisdom sent me Russell. He was my husband for 42 years, and he was absolutely the most humble man I know. So one way that God pointed out to me how prideful I was I was in a large group of Christian women, and one of the women said, I have a question for you guys. Who here, raise your hand if you belong to the Opera Society. And we all kind of looked at each other and didn't know what she meant by that. And she said, you know, I, me. And if I were to be totally honest with myself, I would have had to raise both hands. But right then, the Holy Spirit at that very moment convicted me about pride. So I pulled myself up by my bootstraps and thought, I am going to work on being more Christ-like. So I kind of shut my mouth and became more observant. And one thing I noticed was particularly about gossip and prayer. There's a fine line between praying for someone and leaning more towards gossiping about someone. So I made up my mind that this is what I was going to do. Before I talked about someone who was not standing there, I would ask myself this question. If that person that I'm about to talk about, if they were standing here, would I say the same thing in the same way? And I thought, God shut my mouth many times. So I followed this for a while, and then God pointed out to me, there's pretty much nothing you wouldn't say to somebody's face, so that wasn't a good litmus test for me. So then I had to ask myself a different question. If that person were standing here before me, would I say the same thing in the same way, and would I lift them up? And boy, that really shut my mouth. But the thing of it was, I was trying to change me. I wasn't allowing God to change me. So a couple of things that, one major thing that helped me in becoming a Christ follower was Russell and I had done mission work in Mexico for many years, and our pastor there, Pastor Adrian, they did a mission spotlight every once a month, and he asked Russell and I to get up there because we had been long-time missionaries, short-term missionaries, and he said that he wanted to do an interview-style thing where he would ask us questions and we would answer. So I talked my husband into giving all the answers, I said, if you'll do that, I'll just stand a half step behind you and give you moral support, because I hate talking in front of people. So Russell agreed, and he was asking about how people, the Tarahumaran Indians and the Pima Indians, were being changed by the gospel and all of this. And then he asked a question, because there was a time in Mexico where the drug lords took over and there was such violence and people weren't on the streets anymore. And it was, I think the American consulate even said, don't go to Mexico. And so Pastor Adrian asked this question. He said, how is it that despite all of the opposition and all of the things that are going on in Mexico, how is it that you and Robin still go? I was fully prepared to let Russell answer that, but something at that moment came over me, and I think I stepped forward, and I had my eyes closed, and I said, it's like this. Jesus took us to the edge of a treacherously steep cliff, and he said, step off. And when he did, when we did, he caught us. And I opened my eyes, and it was like, uh-oh. But it was like the Holy Spirit was revealing that's what happened figuratively. And that was the pivotal point for me, when, because that's when I, all fear left me. I mean, all fear left me. I began living my life forward, because God showed me, you can do nothing about your past, and you're in my hands in the future, so you have nothing to worry about. So I concentrated on trying to be in God's will. How do you know when you're in God's will? I'll give you an example. For me, it's always hindsight. I can always see it after the fact. But in April, I went to Cody, Wyoming, to see our kids and grandkids. I flew there, and I was at the airport waiting to return home. And I was waiting for my flight, and I was looking at the mountains, and I was remembering all the times Russell and I went fishing. We love to fish together up in the mountains, and I was thinking about that, and all of a sudden this thought comes into my head that I should move back because our kids, our grandkids are there, and I immediately threw that out of my mind. I thought, I have a great church. I have a great job. I'm comfortable in my home. I love my neighborhood. I have so many things here, and I wasn't even thinking that. I mean, I just erased it. So I came home, and it was springtime, and I started gardening. I planted my garden. God sent Rodrigo to me to help me a couple of times to actually dig up tree roots. We worked really hard. He worked really hard. Thank you, brother. And you know, Pastor Rick came and helped me plant flowers and showed me all of his ideas, you know, because I'm not good about that kind of thing. So thank you, Pastor Rick. But God kept telling me, God kept putting things in my mind about moving back to Cody. So one day I thought, I don't even know how to pick out a realtor. I mean, I just had no idea at all. So I got online and I was looking, and I found that Dave Ramsey, you know, he's the financial guy. He's actually a licensed realtor, and he has realtors who work under his principles. So not only do they help you sell or buy a house, they also teach you financial responsibility. They impart wisdom to you about not taking on more than you can chew, or, you know, whatever. So I thought, well, this is a good place to start because he's a Christian. So it asks you to put in your zip code. I put in my zip code, and three realtors from Pueblo popped up. I was reading the bio of the first one, and my phone rings, and it's the realtor I'm reading about. And I'm like, wait, I'm not ready. And so I visited with him. I put him off because I still was not convinced that this is the thing I should be doing. And the more I pushed away, the more God just kept after me. And he started a thing in rapid succession that happened. Our middle daughter Amanda was going to come down with her daughter Alex, and Amanda was going to paint a couple windows outside that had peeling paint, and we were just going to have a lot of fun. Well, it turned out that when Amanda came, God sent me Sam, because Sam painted the eaves, he painted the windows, he painted a lot of things and did a lot more than that. Thank you, Sam. And Amanda actually helped me stage the house. So thank God for Amanda. She got rid of a whole bunch of things out of the house. The house went on the market. I got 5 showings, bang, 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 on my phone the first day. Within 1 hour, I had the offer that I took. And I'm like, wait, God, wait. Part of me was still hanging on to, I love Pueblo, you know. And so, but I just have to say that it's so hard for me to know what God's will is. But I remember that verse in 1 Thessalonians that says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for Christ, of God in Christ Jesus for you. So really, that's all I have to do, is to rejoice, pray, and give thanks, and God will work out all the rest. So also in hindsight, I now know why God knit Russell and I together, because he was the most humble man I know, and only God knew. It might take me 42 years to learn to be humble, and he gave me the perfect example to live with every single day. Thank you.